Have your Bible, turn with us tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And the Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." I want to preach just a minute tonight, if God will be my help, in a start, maybe a little thing tonight. We may carry on for a few Wednesday nights. But I want to start it out tonight with this thought. It's not me, it's Jesus. Amen? It's not me, it's Jesus. As we see Paul talking to young Timothy, and he's talking to him one of the last times that he'd be ministering to this young man. And we begin to see here as Paul begins to give us a pattern and show us where we're at in this life that we live. He's praising God and thanking Christ Jesus for the blessings that he has, for that enabling power that God gives these people. I want to say tonight, the devil may tell you you're no account, and the devil may tell you that you can't overcome the obstacles you face, but I want to say on the authority of God that we've been enabled and we've been empowered to press on for the good cause of Christ, realizing that in the days ahead, we will be victorious, amen, praise God, as we fight these little skirmishes day by day, praise God, we can realize that one of these days, the battle's going to be over, praise God, and we're going to be declared a winner, praise the Lord. You can just take that to the bank, amen, on the authority of God. He said that we are winners. We are victorious already. We've already come because Christ has overcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad of that? But Paul says here, he said, he's enabled me. He thanks good Lord for that enabling power, counting me faith, putting me into the ministry. Amen. But he goes on, he said, it's hard to imagine that because of where I used to be. If we ain't careful, the devil will do the same thing to us. He'll bring up our past all the time to keep us from thinking about the future. Amen. He'll try to drag. We'll take two or three steps forward for the good cause of Christ. And if we ain't careful, the old devil will drag us back three. Amen. But we can't let him, Dave, because we realize, praise God, that we've overcome all those obstacles that he throws before us. Amen. He said before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Amen. He said we were all old sinners. That's who we are. Jesus said we were sinners. He said we were apt to sin. Amen. That's why he came to seek. That's who he came to seek and save, was old sinners. Amen. Not the righteous. Amen. They wasn't in need of a physician. Praise God. He came to seek and to save that was lost. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 said we like sheep have gone astray. Amen. Sometimes we tend to stray, don't we? We tend to go according to this old flesh. In Romans 3 and 10 says there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. There's none of us right. We can't none of us always do right. It's not in us. Amen. It's because that sin nature that we inherited from the first father Adam, praise God, and it carries on from generation to generation. We don't have to take little old Landon and teach him to lie. Amen. Scruffy. Amen. He automatically will tell lies. We have to teach him. Brother Bill has to teach him. Say, Landon, said you got to tell the truth. Amen. Always tell the truth. Amen. All day. Don't tell a lie. The lie will come out. Amen. They just do. You don't have to train a child to tell a lie. They'll come out because that's part of their sin nature. Amen? Because there's nothing right in them. Proverbs 6:17 tells us that there's a poison in her tongue, there's blood on her hands, and our feet are swift to run where it ought not to go. Into mischief. Amen? That's just who we are. Amen. That's our human nature. That's the fleshly nature of me and you. We're apt to do that because that's who we are. But God, and so many times you hear people and you go out visiting and people say, you say, well, how's your relationship, Lord? Are you saved? And they say, well, I think I'm okay. I think, they say, Brother Jeff, they'll say, I believe I'm all right. But God's diagnosis is that you're not okay. Amen? God's diagnosis is that there's nobody all right. Nobody's okay. Nobody's righteous. There's none, no, not one. There's none of us that's... we can't get heated and high-minded and think we've arrived. Because about the time you think you've arrived, praise God, the devil will knock the scotches out from under you. Amen? We got to realize that we're apt to mess up every day. Amen? Every day. Paul was. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, he declared himself the least of the apostles. Amen? He said, I'm the least of the apostles. Not even worthy to be called an apostle. But later on in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he saw himself as less than the least of all the saints. Amen? Why? Because he didn't get way up here, praise God, he stayed down here. You know the best way to get up here is to get down here. When we get down on our knees before God and just realize that we are nothing, praise God, and that He's everything, amen, then we can get in touch with Him. We get in that right relationship, that right frame of mind, amen, to worship the Lord. At the end of his life, Paul was here talking to these people, and it was close to the end of his life. And he said that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen? Now notice something here. He did not say, I once was. He didn't say I used to be. But he said, I am chief of sinners. Amen? Even to the present tense, he said, that I would, I do not, and that I would not, that I do. He said, I just can't get past this flesh thing. Amen? It rises up and it gives me a fit. Let me show you that. Look over at Romans chapter 7. Let me just show you that right quickly. Now, Paul's my hero. I think Paul was one of the greatest men outside of Christ Jesus. He loved the Lord and he loved God's people and he loved the things of the Word. But he says this. He said in Romans 7, verse 14, he said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Amen? He said, there's a spiritual part. He said, but I get caught up in law, and I get caught up in the carnal part, that fleshly part. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Does that sound familiar? Huh? Every time you try to do something right, praise God, it seems like this old flesh will raise up, and it don't matter. It don't matter how you're good you're going at it. You get down the road a little piece, boy, and you start to get that self-confidence. Amen. You start thinking, boy, I finally got this figured out. This being a Christian, being a child of God, being a son of God, I about got it figured out. And about the time you think that, praise God, an obstacle comes up. And you blow it, you'll mess up, and you'll make a fool of yourself. Amen? But I tell you, I'm like old Brother Bill. I'd rather make a fool of myself for Jesus, praise God, than the knock home runs all day long for the devil. Amen? He said, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consider the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, for now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. See, old Paul, he had the same problem, the same obstacle that we face. This old flesh. Now, I say so many times, we say, you know, well, the devil made me do it. The devil, hey, the devil's not omnipresent. He's not with you all the time. Amen? Hey, he'd be having to work overtime if you tried to claim everything that he had you do, if you tried to blame it and put it off on the devil. He'd have to be working overtime, even directing his nymphs to come your way, to come my way. So it's not the devil. If it's not the devil that's doing that, then you know what it's got to be? It's got to be this old stinking flesh. the flesh is rising up and the flesh is causing us some problems. He said that, for to will is present with me. He said, I want to do right. He said, but how to perform that which is good? He said, I find not. He said, I can't figure it out. He said, I want to do good. He said, that inner person in me wants to do good, but this flesh, praise God, is an obstacle. Amen. I want to say, our flesh is an obstacle to us today. If we could ever get it in our mind, praise God, that this old stinking flesh that we live in, that we tote around every day, praise God, is nothing but an obstacle for me and you. And we put it under, we mortify the deeds of the flesh, praise God, and we put our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make Him priority, we give Him the impetus and emphasis in our life, praise God, that He is number one. Amen. We begin to think upon Him. We begin to meditate on Him. When we do things, we think, Lord, is this something that would be pleasing to You? Lord, would it bring glory to Your name? Amen. When you do that, pray, hey, the flesh won't like that. I'll tell you straight up, when you begin to behave bad, your flesh, and you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do that because Jesus wouldn't be pleased with that. Amen. Your flesh won't like it. I guarantee you, your flesh is going to check you up. The flesh is going to rise up. And it's going to say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. But you know what? That He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Who's in the world? Boy, I got a hold of that the other night, and I about had me a fit. You know who's in the world? You say, well, the stinking devil's in the world. No, you know who's in the world? Me and you. Amen. Me and you are in this world, and this present world is run by the devil. And praise God, if we ain't careful, we'll run with the devil's crowd. Amen. Because that pacifies the flesh. Amen. But Paul said, I don't run with the devil's crowd, praise God. He said, there's something changed inside me. He goes on and says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Did you get that? That evil part of us, it's there. It's part of who we are. That fleshly part of man. Amen? We can't handle it. See, we live in a world, you know, and a lot of times I've heard, you know, we've heard all our lives, you know, that we're no match for the devil. Amen? John Fry, you ain't no match for the devil. The devil's a prince of power in this present world. But I want to tell you, praise God, you're no match for the flesh. Amen? We can't control this flesh. This flesh is exceedingly lustful. This flesh is it's always wanting to do things, praise God, to make it feel good. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why sodomy is rampant in America. Amen? Because the flesh wants to do those things, praise God. And you know what? It wants to do those things that's against the Creator. Amen? The flesh is automatically rebellious, praise God, by nature against the Creator. Amen? That's it. That's what it does. It just rebels against the Creator. But praise God, there's one that's greater in us. And if we'll let Him have control. Paul said, you know what happened? He said, I realize I can't control this thing. It's bigger than I am. It's getting out of hand. Evil's always present with me. And listen to what he don't stop. I'm glad he don't stop her. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Remember I told you it's like he's talking about that body of death. You know how Nero would take to punish the Christian, he would take a dead putrefying body and he would chain it to somebody as punishment. And you had to wear that old dead putrefying person on your back until they rotted away and it would fall off. Was the only way you were freed. And most of the time that infection and that putrefying body would get into you and make you sick and you'd die too. Amen? And it was like Paul said, I've got this old man in me and praise God, I'm carrying him around and I can't shake him. He said, oh wretched man, how can I escape the body of this death? But he said, he goes on in verse 25, the Holy Ghost God spoke to his heart, gave him an answer. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with flesh the law of sin. Amen? He said, praise be to God, there's something in me. He said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm putting my faith in and not in my flesh. He said, I'm trusting in the Lord, amen, to help me to meet my needs and to do that for me that I can't do in this old body of clay. Amen. If we try to do everything within ourselves, we'll fail miserably. You will fail miserably. You'll come up short every time. But praise be to God, there's a great God of glory and the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, that will help us in this walk. But the first thing we got to do is realize that we're just old sinners in need of some help. Amen. We have a comparison here in verse 13. He gives a comparison of the sinfulness. He said, talking about a man who is a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious. Amen. And he speaks of our sinfulness, mine and yours. And that we can look around tonight and we have a comparison and we start comparing ourselves to other people. Do you ever do that? Have you ever compared yourself to other people? And you look at them and you look at yourself and say, well, you know, I'm not too bad because I'm as good as he is, or maybe I'm better than he is, or I'm better than she is. So I must be a pretty good person. And or you might say, well, you know what? I must be doing pretty good because I'm as good as the pastor at the church, and he respects me, and he says that he loves me and he cares for me, so I must be pretty good. But see, the comparison that we got to make isn't a comparison between the people around us or even to your pastor, but the comparison we got to make is our comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one, praise God, that gives us our strength, praise God. If we put our eyes and our focus on people, they'll let us down. But praise God, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, He will never let us down. Amen. He's always there to show us the right way. Always there to speak to our heart and give us that we need. Amen. But it takes us seeing who we are in order to recognize that. In Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah is talking to the people of Israel, and he says, woe is you. A woe unto you. Through chapter 5, he gives six woes in chapter 5 to the nation of Israel. Amen? But I know, thought something was funny here. In Isaiah chapter 5, he gives all these woes. Woe of them that call evil good. Woe of them that are wise in their own eyes. Woe of them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength in mingled strength drink. And he gives all these woes to the children of Israel. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. Amen. And he says, woe, woe, woe unto you. But now notice what takes place in chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen? And he goes on in verse 3 and said that they was one crying to another, and they said they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen? And the post of the doors moved at his voice and of them that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Amen. So the year of King Uzziah, Isaiah was saying, you know what? Woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. But praise God, on the year that King Uzziah died, he took his eyes off of man, took his eyes off the king, praise God, and he looked in the throne of grace, and he saw the good God of glory. Amen. Praise God. And he got excited about it, and he seen the presence of God, and it filled the house, praise the Lord, where he was at. And he said, you know what he says? He says, woe is me, for I am undone. Amen. Isaiah, he was saying, woe unto me. We can say woe unto Bill Bryson. We can say woe unto Jeff Gardner. But praise God, when we say, you know, woe is to me. Woe is me because I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and a people of unclean lips. I'm a man that, amen, that sins against God. I'm a man that needs help, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm somebody that needs some attention from God. And somebody that needs some attention to God. Amen. So that I might see like old Isaiah did. Praise the Lord. And he began, as God began to touch him and to begin to minister to Him. And as I begin to see that this in my life, it's just like Isaiah, and just in your life. When we begin to get closer to Christ, we realize how bad we really are. Amen? When I was lost out in the world, John Fry, I didn't think I was that bad a person. I mean, I went along with people. I didn't cause a ruckus. And, you know, I like to have a few scuffles here and there. But, amen, I thought everybody did. Thought that was part of life. I thought that's what we did. Amen? But when I come along and as I get closer to the Lord, Landon, I realize, praise God, as I begin to get closer to Him, I realize how sinful I am. How unlike Him I am. And praise God, when I begin to realize how sinful I am, it begins to make me want to draw closer and be more like Him. Amen? To get back to where I need to be. Because I've been walking in the wrong place. And I begin to ask myself, you know, I begin to see myself, I see a pure Savior and a holy Savior, and I begin to see myself as an old sinner. Somebody that needs help. So what do I do? I have to ask myself, Lord, how do You put up with me? How do You put up with me day after day, knowing I'm apt to sin? That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, the Lord knows that we're apt to sin. We're old sinners. But He came to seek and to save old sinners. Amen. He came to be there for us, to help us. So what makes the difference in that? When Paul says what makes a difference, he said, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. He said, I done it because I didn't know no better. Amen. But he said, praise God, God began to open my eyes. I began to draw closer to the Lord, and He began to illuminate me and show my mind, praise God, the things that was pleasing to the Lord. I began to understand things that had been cloudy before or I had just disregarded. Sometimes I think we just disregard it because we don't want to know. Amen? Because we might have to change the way we do. We might have to change our habits. Amen? If we realize where we really were. Amen? We might have to take an alternate route in this life, praise God, if we come to a conclusion of who we really were and the way that this old flesh and this old world was compelling us to go. Amen? But the Lord will work it out if we'll let Him. But we say, Lord, you know, how do You put up with me? You know, why do You put up with me? Because He said His mercy and He obtained mercy. God extends His mercy to us every day. And Paul says, because I've attained to the mercy of God, he said, I've changed a different attitude. He said, I've come into a thankful attitude. He said, the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith. Amen. He said superfluous. He said it was an overabundance. Remember we talked about that today? Exceeding abundant, a great excess, praise God, of grace and mercy that came to Him. Amen. Praise God, I want to say that same God is alive today to extend down that grace and that mercy, that exceeding abundant of faith, praise God, to believe God can. We can't get beat down in this old world. Can't let this flesh beat us up because, praise God, there's a God of glory that can. Amen. He can help us to overcome the world. He can help us to overcome temptation. And He can surely get this flesh under subjection. Amen. When we realize, praise God, that we're just old cedars, sinners exceeding, praise God, and God can help us. And we come, like old brother Paul, with faith to believe that the Lord is. Amen. If we'll just admit, praise God, that we're in this darkness that Paul was talking about. A darkness of sin. Sin's darkness. Amen. Sin's darkness, we're darkness. It's like there's no light at all. But I want to say, praise God, we've been enlightened. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's turned the light on for us. Praise God. He's illuminated our lives and showed us, praise God, that He loves us and cares for us and that He's there to help us, praise God, in everything that we do. Because He loves us. He wants to extend His mercy, that grace, exceeding abundantly with faith. Amen. And love, which is in Christ Jesus. Why does He do it? Because He loves us. He can't help it. That's one of His attributes, Brother Andrew. God can't help but love you. That's who He is. That's what He does. Amen. Amen. He can't help but love us because that's what you say, well, preacher, I thought He is a great big God, a God of wrath. He is a God of wrath. when we continue to rebel against Him, because He loves us. Amen? He loves us. The reason we go through things is because He loves us. He's trying to redirect us and refocus us on where we need to be. You say, well, preacher, I heard something that fellow told me today. So, preacher, I don't believe that. He said, God's a God of wrath, and sometimes good godly people get sick and they die. I said, well, glory. He said, glory. I said, yeah, God promote me. He said, youngin', praise God, just come on home. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've seen saints of God, praise God, get sick and of the cancer or something else, praise God, being on that deathbed, and the last thing they do, praise God, is they go through that whole thing with a positive attitude, and the last thing they do is just wave to glory, waving this old world goodbye, and Jesus, hello. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You hear the stories, the tales, praise God. I've been sitting on the bedside of dear old saints that went on to glory, and they went out of here, praise God, reaching up with a smile on their face. Amen. Amen. They wasn't reaching for a Twinkie. Amen. They was reaching for Jesus. Praise God, the author and finisher of their faith. Amen. But if we can realize and admit the darkness that we're living in, amen, and that Christ is trying to shine upon us, and He shines upon us all the days of our life. All the days of our life, Christ is a shining on us, praise God, ministering to us, ministering for us. We just need to recognize it. We need to realize it before it's too late. Amen. In Revelation chapter 19, 1, all the saints is there, and this thing's fixing to close out, and they say, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power, praise God. All the saints are gathered there at the very end of this thing, and they say, hallelujah. You know what they're saying? You know what that means? That means praise God. Praise Jehovah. Praise be to God. Amen. They done, as the old saying goes, they done been there and done that. Praise the Lord. But they looking at it from the other side, and they're saying, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Glory and power and honor to God of glory. Amen. One day I tell you, youngins, praise God, hey, it's not me that takes care of me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of these days, we're going to gather over on yonder shore and give hallelujahs ourselves. Amen. That's a promise from the Lord. Amen. So they had a thankful attitude. Note 16, the first part of that verse. Not only did they have a thankful attitude, but they had a loving attitude. They said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Amen. If we ever going to show love, reciprocating love back to God, we ought to show it because He's merciful to us. He shows us mercy every day. Hey, let me just admit something. If I got what I deserved, I'd have been dead a long time ago. Amen. There's been times that I've pulled back and I've got cold and indifferent toward God. And if I'd have been Him, I'd have just snuffed me out and took me on. Amen. But praise God, that mercy was there. And He said, hey, good soldier, I need you. Just go on a little more. And we know what He did? Through mercy, He encouraged me. Amen. And I pressed on a little further. Come out of the mully grub, praise God. Come to that shore of shouting, praise God. To that mountain shire, atop of revival. Crying out to God, saying, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Got in a good fight again. Amen. But He said that day was a hallelujah time. Amen. A loving attitude toward a God that took care of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. That loving attitude that gives us that we need. A loving attitude. He talks about if we could ever have a loving attitude towards God. Amen. To realize all that He's done for. You say, what did He do for you? He saved you from your sin. Amen. Look over at Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, it talks about this woman who was exceedingly sinful. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible tells us that he was a Pharisee desired him to eat with, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to much to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. If we realize the love of God, how much he loves us, how much he's willing to forgive us, we can have that same loving attitude where we can come to God with thankfulness, praise God, because we're not old sinners with our back broken, hell denied for the sins that we've so sinfully committed. Amen. We should have been there. Every one of us, praise God, but by the mercy of God and the love of God, amen, he brought us out of that, opened our eyes, revealed us to us a living God and a living Savior and saved us from hell.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, that's why I'm so excited tonight. He said, I've obtained mercy. Amen. He said, I've got a loving attitude because he first loved me. Amen. Ain't that what what the Bible says? He first loved us. Amen. In order to give us a loving attitude. Not only does it give us a thankful attitude, a loving attitude, but in order to give us a pleasing attitude. Amen. We ought to be wanting to please the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. We ought to realize, praise God, we ought to be willing to try to do what's right according to God's Word because the Holy Ghost of God, He sealed us, praise God. He's there to keep us, amen, in the precious arms of God all the way through the duration of this thing and deliver us safe on yon shore when the battle's over. So we want to be pleasing to Him, an attitude of pleasing to God because I don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I don't want to break the heart of God. I don't want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to have preeminence in my life. I want Him to have. I want Him to be at the frontmost of my life, the frontmost of my heart, not in some dark corner, praise God, in the back of my heart. I want Him to have preeminence so that He can lead me along this way. Amen. I want to have a pleasing attitude because He first loved me. Because He sent the Holy Ghost to seal me to the day of redemption. Amen. We're sealed. Amen. That means that we're sealed, that we're protected, we're kept, praise God, for God. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. But not only are we pleased and have a pleasing attitude, but a comfortable attitude. The Bible tells us that He said that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. The Bible tells that Jesus came to seek and to save old sinners. Amen. So our heart's desire should be every day of our life, praise God, to let Him find us. Amen. To desire every day for Jesus to find us, praise God, where we are, praising Him, giving Him glory, amen, looking for His appearing. Now, I'm telling you, this thing's about over. I mean, we're coming to the last page, the last book, the last final chapter. As the old Jew over in Israel told me a few years ago, he said, when we look at this thing and we see it playing out, he said, the movie's over, the film is, it's all one of them old projectors, and it's a running in it, and the movie's done went off, the credits is done over, and we're at the numbers at the end right before it runs off the reel. Amen. You say, well, how do you know? He said, as it was in the days of Noah. When people were just marrying and giving in marriage, not concerned about the things of God. Amen. When they were running so far away from God and the man of God, said, we don't want to hear it. 120 years the man of God was preaching. He said, you better be preparing. God's going to give a great flood and destroy mankind if you don't turn from your wicked ways. And they said, we'll have none of that. We're going to go our way. Amen. And he says, it was the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. Holy given to sodomy. Amen. You look around this world today, we're wanting to put it in everywhere. They said the other day they're trying to vote, trying to get the Supreme Court to vote that they can be sodomites in, as Boy Scout leaders. God help America. Amen. Take little old boys like Landon and some of these others and send them off in the woods with a pedophile. Amen. God help America. But you know what I wish they'd do? I wish God'd save them all. Amen. They'd quit their wicked ways. Paul said, so it's so worse. Some of you said, you say, preacher, they was born that way. No, it's practice sin. Amen. Just like a drunk or a drug addict. Amen. Sinful tendencies. Yeah, they were born that way, born as sinners. Amen. And they exercise that sin. Amen. It's wickedness in the eyes of God. But the Bible said we come with a comforting attitude. Paul said, it blessed my heart. Said, I found Jesus because He found me. Because He first found me. Amen. A sinner in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. He's totally capable of and wonderfully taking, drawing close to the Lord. An old wicked sinner getting so close to the Lord, praise God, that the Lord keeps us from our sins. Keeps us washed. Keeps us clean. Keeps us, amen, wonderfully and marvelously cleansed. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how can God do that? Because He's God. Amen. It's not me that does it. It's not you that'll do that. But it's Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you that'll keep you clean. Amen? When we realize that we're just old sinners in need of a Savior. A Savior. A Savior from what? A Savior from ourselves. Somebody to save us from ourselves. Because you know what? Human beings are self-destructive. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Look at history. Look at history. All through history, they've been kingdoms rise up. And then man to come along and destroy them. Amen? Kingdoms rise up, and people come along and destroy them. That's just the way we are. We're self-destructive. We can't do it ourselves. It's not in me. But it's the Lord Jesus that'll keep me from where I need to be. It's the Lord Jesus that'll keep you where you need to be. When we realize that we're just old sinners, apt to sin. Is that an excuse to sin? God forbid. God forbid. It's an excuse to try to live right so that we don't grieve the Holy Ghost of God. So with the Spirit of God that's in you, you say, well, preacher, let me say this. When you do wrong, if you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost of God's going to smite your heart right quick. He's going to show you that you're wrong. Amen? Sure He will. Like Brother Charles talking about that one time, that backup alarm. Amen? He'll go off. He'll say, hold on a minute. Amen? But then it's our responsibility to listen. Okay, Lord, I got you. Amen. I'm turning around. I'm going another way. Forgive me, Lord. Hey, forgive me for doing that. I'm gone. I'm headed away from it. I'm not going back there. Amen. That's true repentance. Because we don't want to break the heart of God. But when we realize, Paul said, you know what? I realized when I was no sinner exceeding. But he said, when I realized the Lord Jesus Christ was in me and He was merciful to me and He was there to be an ever-present help. He said, I realized, praise God, that I could overcome it all. Amen, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it wasn't in me, but it's in Him. Who's your faith in tonight? Who are you trusting in? If you're trusting in the flesh, if you're trusting in yourself, self will let you down. But I want to say, praise God, tonight, if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He'll help you through this thing, and He'll help you to do it right according to His perfect will. Amen? If we'll just trust Him tonight. But we've got to realize tonight, it's not me and it's not you that's going to do to keep him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that'll keep us until the day of redemption.